You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
So it is that time of the year again, when the tax man comes for your and my money. July is the last month to file tax returns for the financial year. The time we chase the finance guys at work for our Form 16 because the CA wants it as soon as possible. Today, we're going to explain in simple terms what this whole process is and what you can do to come out the other side with most of your money still in hand. My name is Rakesh and this is Money Control.
All you need to know about filing your IT returns.
An exclusive on Money Control.
The good news these days is the tax filing process is not the same tedious runaround anymore. Earlier, one had to physically fill income tax returns or ITR forms and stand in queues to submit these forms at the income tax office. And then there was the wait for updates. However, the last few years it has been made mandatory for all assessees who earn more than 5 lakh rupees annually to file their returns online. In effect, it has now become quite convenient to not only e-file your returns but also track your refunds and the processing of returns online. It is in fact so easy now that the government has a new rule in place. Miss the deadline for filing, which is the 31st of July 2018, and you're liable to pay a maximum fine of 10,000 rupees. That said, if you do file before the 31st of December 2018, that fine will be no more than 5,000 rupees. Since it is now recognized that adults change their behavior only when faced with pain, I get the feeling a lot of people will overcome their procrastination and file their returns before the 31st of July. What do they say? Carrot and stick. If a taxpayer is supposed to file returns but fails to do so, an assessing officer can send a notice that the returns are to be filed. If the individual fails to file the return even after such a notice has been sent, he or she may have to pay a penalty. In cases of non-compliance with notices and warnings by the IT department, imprisonment under Section 276cc of the Act for 3 months to 2 years plus a fine are what are waiting for the guilty party. If the amount of tax sought to be evaded exceeds 25 lakh rupees, the imprisonment may range from 6 months to 7 years, along with a fine. In certain cases, even if your income is less than taxable income, you might have to file your returns. For example, if you have a bank account or an asset or financial interest in any entity located abroad, you must file returns and furnish details of such accounts, assets, and financial interest in the return. If a taxpayer does receive permission to file his returns after the deadline, he or she can still get the tax deduction benefits such as the Section 80C benefits, but won't be allowed to carry forward the losses and adjust them. In recent years, there has been a surge in the number of people filing IT returns. For example, approximately 99.49 lakh new tax filers were added during FY18. That is a 26% rise in the final tally of return filers and a much healthier rise compared to the 85.51 lakh new ITR filers added during FY17. So that's 85.51 to 99.49 lakh people. In keeping with this trend, many more new taxpayers are expected to file their returns this year. Now that we've dealt with the subtler nuances of income tax law, let's get to the parts we really care about. One of the most important parts of income tax us commoners care about is exemption limit or threshold limit. I'm sure you're all well acquainted with these numbers, but I'll recount them anyway, because what are we doing? We are digging deep. Individual taxpayers' gross total income have three threshold limits based on age-wise categorization. First, citizens under the age of 60. The exemption limit is an annual income of 2.5 lakh rupees. Next, for senior citizens, meaning people over the age of 60 but under the age of 80. The threshold limit there is 3 lakh rupees. And finally, very senior citizens, meaning people well over the age of 80, are entitled to a threshold limit of 5 lakh rupees. Next, knowledge of slab rates helps us compute our tax liability more accurately. The slab rate applicable to an individual drawing taxable income between 2.5 lakh and 5 lakh rupees has been reduced from 10% to 5%. Alok Agarwal, Senior Director of Deloitte India, said, and I quote, "Earlier, an individual with taxable income up to 5 lakh rupees was entitled to a tax relief. Now, this limit has been reduced to 3.5 lakh rupees. Also, the tax rebate has been reduced from 5,000 rupees to 2,500 rupees. Unquote. Those earning an income in the region of 50 lakh rupees to 1 crore rupees will have to shell out a surcharge of 10%. Agarwal adds that a surcharge at 15% continues for individuals with income totaling above 1 crore rupees. If you're filing returns for the first time, you can register on the Income Tax Department's official e-filing portal, that is www.incometaxindiaefiling.gov.in. I repeat, www.incometaxindiaefiling.gov.in. Your PAN number or permanent account number will serve as a user ID. Remember that any mismatch in your name against the name in the PAN card will mean filing all over again. Keep your important documents handy, like your Form 16 and Form 12BA you've received from your employer. Tax credit statement, that is Form 26AS. Bank statements, PPF, passbook. Also make sure you have proof of advance tax paid during the year and certificate of principal and proof of interest you have repaid on your loans, for example home loan or education loan, as well as a copy of your returns filed the previous year, your capital gains statement from mutual funds and brokers, etc. Yes, that is a lot of offline documentation, but those are required to ensure your online filing of income tax returns is a painless 15 to 20 minute task that can be finished before the FIFA World Cup matches are finished each night. Before we proceed, I must mention that income tax laws relating to property have changed this year. Taxpayers who own more than one property and claim tax benefits on the home loan interest they're paying will not be impressed, I'm afraid. Till the last fiscal, you could get a tax break on the entire interest paid, which is considered loss on home loan for let out or deemed let out properties. Starting this year, the government has restricted the benefit of set-off loss from house property to a maximum of Rs 2 lakh per financial year, and the balance loss can be carried forward to the next 8 years. However, there is a change in capital gains tax that could cheer you up. Chetan Chanduk, head of tax research at tax consultancy firm H&R Block, says, and I quote, "Holding period for capital gains to be considered on immovable property has been reduced from 3 years to 2 years. Also, year 2001 will now be the base year for calculating the capital gains instead of the existing 1981. Unquote. The two main forms to consider are ITR 1 and ITR 2. Before we expand more on the types of forms, let's take a look at the types of income. There are 5 types of income. Number 1, income from salary. Number 2, income from house property. Number 3, profits and gains of business or profession. Number 4, income from capital gains. Number 5, income from other sources. Income from other sources means incomes from sources like that from interest on deposits, lottery winnings, gifts from persons other than relatives, etc. The type of ITR form a taxpayer has to fill has 4 major considerations. Number 1, whether you earned your income as an individual, an HUF, that is a Hindu undivided family, a company or firm, etc. Number 2, your residential status, resident or non-resident Indian. Number 3, type of income, salary, property, business or profession, capital gains or other sources, like I just mentioned earlier. And number 4, carry forward of losses. Losses being carried forward, for example, loss on the sale of a capital asset, offers some rebate in future tax liabilities. Now that we're clearer on the types of income, let's look at the type of forms. You require an ITR 1 form if you're an individual. You earn a salary or pension. You have income from one home property. You earn any exempt income up to 5,000 rupees, like agricultural income, and you have income from other sources. This excludes income from lotteries, racehorses, gambling, etc. You require an ITR 2A form if you're an individual or a Hindu undivided family, earning an income from salary or pension, but are also earning income from more than one property, as well as from lotteries, racehorses, gambling, etc. And if you have additionally brought forward losses and also earned an income through capital gains, you require the form ITR 2. If you're a self-employed professional or run a small business, you should use ITR 4 or the Sugam form. Considering the number of variations, it is generally recommended that one consolidate all their incomes and proofs into a single, easy-to-understand document and categorize the types of incomes under the different heads so that it becomes easier to select the right ITR form. This will help make the income tax returns process far easier. Till last year, if an individual or HUF was a partner in a firm, ITR 2 could be used if they didn't have any other business income. Now, such taxpayers are required to file returns in ITR 3 only, irrespective of business income. Sandeep Sehgal, one of the directors in Ashok Maheshwari & Associates, explained to the Economic Times, and I quote, "Until last year, only net taxable figures of salary and house property income were required to be disclosed. This year, detailed calculations in respect of salary and house property income are required in ITR 1 and ITR 4. Address of property would also be required for house property income." Unquote. If all this information on the types of forms is confusing, don't worry. When using a private tax filing portal to file returns, they usually choose the correct form automatically based on income and assets. Of course, if you're using the Sarkari portal, you will have to choose the form yourself. And now, can we ever forget our dear friend Aadhaar? Quoting Aadhaar number is mandatory for resident taxpayers. Some experts go so far as to say that obtaining an Aadhaar number becomes imperative when a tax return is to be filed. What was that about minimum government again? And now the nuts and bolts of checking your tax details. For starters, access your Form 26AS, that is your tax credit statement, which is available on the government portal, and check if the tax deducted by your employer and other deductors tallies with your Form 16 and TDS certificates. I am sure you already know this, but let me reiterate. Form 16 is an important document required for the filing of income tax returns. It contains details of the total salary paid by your employer and the tax deducted from the income. The form is provided by the employer. Form 26AS can also be accessed through your net banking account. Analyst Sandeep Sehgal says, and I quote again, all the tax credits for salaries and other income should be verified with 26AS. If there is any mismatch, it should be addressed to the employer or payer of such income, unquote. Then comes the minefield that you should keep a close eye on. Income from interest. Analyst Sudhir Kaushik of TaxPanner.com says, and I quote, many taxpayers think interest income from fixed deposits is tax-free up to 10,000 rupees in a year. Others have the misconception that no tax is payable if TDS has already been deducted, unquote. Only the interest earned on your savings bank account is exempt from Section 80 TTA. Interest earned from FDs and RDs is entirely taxable at the rate of your income bracket. Further, TDS is only 10% of the interest earned on deposits. If the individual falls in a higher tax bracket, he or she will have to pay additional tax. If your 26AS shows TDS on interest income, the tax department will send you a demand for additional tax on the income. Apart from taxable interest income, you're also required to report exempt income. Even though dividends, interest on PPF, and long-term gains from equity funds are tax-free, it is safer to report them in the tax forms. One issue that is the bane of salaried professionals is the misreporting of salary. Individuals who have changed jobs during the financial year have to deal with the complication of entering details after combining information from two Form 16s issued by two employers. Archit Gupta of ClearTax told the Economic Times, and I quote, this happens for cases where the employee could not report salary from first employer to the second employer. In such cases, a tax due is likely and must be paid quickly, unquote. If you have a total income of, say, over 50 lakh rupees, you have to furnish several details leading to complications. Gupta lists reporting of income from all sources as a prerequisite. Now, let's briefly count the type of exemptions we can file for. Ensure that you claim all tax benefits you're entitled for, even the ones you might have missed mentioning in the investment declaration submitted to your employer. If you have made any investments under Section 80C and CCD of the Income Tax Act, then you're entitled to deductions of up to 2 lakh rupees. In case you earn extra from rental income, part-time business, or interest earned on fixed deposits, then you will have to declare all of that as it will be counted under your total taxable income. Archit Gupta of ClearTax went on to add, and I quote, all Section 80C deductions can be claimed at the time of filing tax returns, as also interest on home loan and HRA, that is house rent allowance. Leave travel allowance, that is LTA, and medical allowance claims can only be claimed via the employer by submitting proofs, unquote. Oh yes, HRA, house rent allowance, our favorite exemption. Under Section 80GG, you can avail of the benefit for the rent even if your salary package does not include HRA, provided you're not eligible for any housing benefit. The exemption is limited to the least amount of rent paid less than 10% of total income, or 5,000 rupees a month, or 25% of total income. In case you receive allowances like transport allowance, medical allowance, etc., you can get tax exemption of up to 34,200 rupees while calculating your income tax. You should also calculate other exempt allowances like food coupons, etc. from your net taxable income. India's income tax laws also allow exemptions for serious illnesses. The treatment of ailments like cancer, kidney failure, or AIDS entails huge expenses, and these expenses are allowed relief under Section 80DDB to taxpayers suffering from such diseases. They can claim a tax deduction of up to 40,000 rupees. If the person is a senior citizen, then the deduction can go up to 60,000 rupees. Also, make sure that you list any donations that you have made to charitable institutions, as employers usually do not account for deductions under Section 80G. Next, try to verify if there are any tax benefits you may have skipped due to lack of awareness. Income tax expert Chetan Chandok says, and I quote, "Savings accounts generate income in the form of interest from deposits, which can be claimed as deduction to the extent of 10,000 rupees under Section 80TTA of the IT Act. This is not widely known. While deduction under Section 24 on interest paid for home loan is a commonly known tax benefit, most assume that they are entitled to it only if the loan has been sanctioned by an institutional lender. Many taxpayers ignore this deduction if the tag of home loan is not attached to their loan, even if they use it to construct or purchase a house." Chandak also told Economic Times, and I quote, "You can avail the tax benefits offered by this section even if it was a personal loan taken from relatives or friends," unquote. The only condition to be eligible for this tax benefit is that the loan should be used in the construction or purchase of a house. You can also avail tax relief of up to 30,000 rupees on interest paid on loan taken for revamp or reconstruction of your house. And last but not the least, don't overlook the basics. When filing the tax return form, ensure that you submit details of all your bank accounts accurately, especially the account you have chosen for receiving tax refunds. Alok Agarwal of Deloitte India warns, and I quote, "Tax refunds will be credited by the tax authorities only in the account furnished in the return. There are many instances where refunds are not granted to assessees on account of incorrect bank details," unquote. Which finally brings us to ITR 5. This is a one-page verification document you must submit to the Income Tax Department so they can begin processing your return. It is imperative you do not delay e-verifying your return. Dispatch the printed and signed ITR 5 to the CPC in Bangalore by regular or speed post within 120 days if you have filed your returns online. For the record, the CPC has its very own PIN code in Bangalore, 560-500. Your return filing will be considered incomplete without these and could attract late filing penalty. That 10,000 rupee fine we were speaking about earlier. And that, in not so brief, is how you file your income tax returns. Happy July, everyone.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.